The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
All right, it took till the end, but they got it done. It's official, cemented, pour it in stone. The Brewers turned in the best regular season in franchise history. And we all know the line. I guess there's only one thing left to do. 97 wins, first time that's ever happened here for the Milwaukee Brewers. 4-2, the final today, and the postseason field is set. Three teams out of the NL Central, nobody expected that, will be in the postseason, even despite the Reds losing today, by virtue of the Mets also losing. The second highest payroll in baseball will be watching from their couch. As the Mets miss out on October, the Reds sneak in on the final day. They will be the last wild card team in the postseason. So here's how it looks, and then we'll get you the highlight recap and get on with the program. Again, the Brewers, the number one overall seed, best record in baseball. Number two seed, the Philadelphia Phillies. The wild card 4-5 matchup, the Cubs hosting the Padres. That's the series that feeds into the Brewers. And the Reds going to L.A. to take on the Dodgers. That series feeds into Philly. Over in the American League side, the one seed is the Toronto Blue Jays. They win the AL East. The two seed is the Seattle Mariners. They had already clinched the AL West before today had begun. And the final division winner from down 15 and a half games, the Cleveland Guardians. They win the division. They will host the best of three series against the Detroit Tigers, who they surpassed on the last week of the season. Detroit will be the final team in the field, technically. The Yankees and the Red Sox will be the 4-5. The Yankees hosting that best of three series. They feed into their division rival Blue Jays in that series. And then it is Guardians and Tigers feeding into Seattle. So now you're caught up to speed. Let's get you on this 4-2 win for the Brewers in the finale of the regular season.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers literally had nothing to play for, and it was going to be a bullpen game from the start. Yes, Freddy Peralta started on the mound, but they knew he was not going to be long for this contest, whereas the Reds were going to live and die with every single pitch. Both teams left a man stranded in the first, but in the second, it was a no-doubt solo homer by Eli De La Cruz for the game's opening salvo. 1-0 Reds. D.L. Hall would enter in the third and promptly allow a leadoff homer to T.J. Friedel. That made it 2-0 on a pair of solo homers. But the Brewers, their second time through against the starter Brady Singer, finally started to go their way. A leadoff double by Jackson Churio in the bottom of the third, and then Bryce Terrain continues his runner in scoring position production.
Singer's 1-1, and Terrain a liner into right center field. That's going to get down. Around third is Churio. He will score. Terrain turns first on his way to second. It's an RBI double. Brewers on the board. It's 2-1 Reds.
So those back-to-back doubles led off the inning, but the Brewers would fail to muster anything else across. We go to the fourth, and all eyes on Trevor McGill. As he returned from his flexor strain, his first game action in over a month, he got De La Cruz to ground out. He got Steer to strike out. All that was left was Hayes.
1-2 pitch, and right down the middle with a fastball at 98. Trevor McGill, a 1-2-3 inning in his return to the mound. And how about that for a tune-up going into the postseason? I'd say he looks just fine.
Lane Grindle's call. We'll hear from Trevor McGill later on in the program. But the Brewers were still trailing 2-1. In the bottom of the fourth, it was a leadoff ground rule double by Isaac Collins down the right field line against Singer. Then he tagged up and got to third on a flyout by Monasterio. Danny Jansen has been playing the last couple of games while William tends to his sore wrist. Danny Jansen having himself quite a September.
Here's the 3-2 pitch. And a fly ball to left. This is hit well. Way back there. Bye-bye baseball. Danny Jansen, a two-run blast, and the Brewers on top 3-2.
How about that? The backup catcher always finds a way to get involved in the contest. So the Brewers take the lead, but they weren't done there in the fourth. Nick Lodolo, a starter by trade, had to come out of the bullpen to try to give them some length with a window of lefties due. Yelich would ground out. Churio would restart the rally with a single. He stole second base during Bryce Terang's at-bat, and Bryce would ultimately walk the first of that window of lefties that Lodolo wanted to face. The Brewers have runners on first and second and two outs, and they go to their bench instead of the lefty Jake Bauer. They go to Andrew Vaughn, and well, he has been torching southpaws since becoming a Brewer.
And brings home the first pitch, and Vaughn, a liner into left center field. That is down. Churio's around third. He will score. Streaking to third is Terang, and jogging into second with an RBI double is Andrew Vaughn. It is 4-2 Milwaukee.
From then on, the Brewers' bullpen continued a revolving door. Aaron Ashby, two scoreless innings. Then Chad Patrick, a scoreless seventh. Jared Koenig, a 1-2-3 eighth. Abner Uribe had the ninth. He got the first two out on weak contact and the final batter of the game.
Uribe, the sign, and his 0-1. Steer, a fly ball to center. Back is Perkins. That'll do it. 97 wins for your Milwaukee Brewers, a new franchise record. 4-2 the final score. They beat the Reds, and no team in Brewers franchise history has ever been better than the 2025 version.
Jeff Levering's call. How about it? The Brewers are the number one seed. They have the best record in the NL for the first time since 2018. The best record in all of Major League Baseball for the first time since 1982. I think we've heard about that year before. We'll break it down coming up next with Craig Kishon. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. On your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
We've heard it a lot, 97 times this year. Glory days as the Brewers win again. 97 wins. Brewers Extra Innings all season long has been presented by Fifth Third Bank. Our big thanks to them. If you're looking for a banking partner that truly understands your business needs, look no further than Fifth Third Bank. They've got a local team right here in Milwaukee, and they know how to hit it out of the park every time. For 15 years, they've been serving our community with industry-specific expertise and local decision-making that helps your business thrive. Experience a unique commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member, FDIC. I'm Dom Catronio with Craig Kishon now. And Craig, my goodness, I mean, you've seen a lot of baseball and you've seen a lot of, you know, great Brewers teams. You've seen a lot more, you know, less than stellar Brewers teams over the years. To see 97 wins, a mark that no team has ever reached before. And when you consider the start that they had, starting 0-4, starting with the worst run differential in the modern era, all of that to say, they're number one. How do you sum it up here as we look at back at 162 games done?
Oh, man, Dom, so much. I mean, they're, you know, I was, I was around in 1982 and was here at the park and doing work for the team in a far different capacity, that's for sure. And that 96-win team back then, man, if they only actually truly adjusted the home field advantage and the best record, you know, they didn't have game seven against the Cardinals. That was in St. Louis. And so they will have that in all aspects throughout. And so I think that's absolutely huge. But just the fact that, I've been saying this and kind of thinking this all along, all the records that this team has set this year, the greatest thing about it is it's not a fluke season. It's not just, you know, some magic trick. It's not just a short hot run that they had. They've been doing this for most of the year since that slow start and really accomplishing some great things. There's been individual performances, but to get to 97, and I think for me, Dom, I don't know how you feel about this, but I was touched, to be honest with you, by the home crowd today throughout the game, and then at the end on that final out, They were phenomenal. They were phenomenal through Bryce Terang's interview. He was grateful and humble to the support. This is what makes this city special. This is what makes this franchise special. you know, you can say small market, and I know Murph brings it up a lot, so the general national public understands it, but nobody understands it better than the people of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin. It's just an understood thing that this is who we are, and this fan base appreciates the accomplishments and the entertainment and the effort more than anybody. It was just great to see today.
Over 2.6 million fans here at the ballpark, top 12 in Major League Baseball attendance. That should be noted for such a small market and what everyone thinks they know about the city of Milwaukee. They 24 sellouts is two. I mean, that was pretty incredible to see what the Brewers did all season long in order to pull this off, man. 97 wins, and you know, I think it was fitting. I know he didn't go like a traditional start today, but I thought it was really fitting that Freddy Peralta gets to be the starting pitcher in this game, because we take it for granted with starting pitchers, and we especially take it for granted with Freddy Peralta, because I've been saying this for a long time, that even when there were trade rumors earlier in the year about Freddy, right, when we were having to listen to people say, trade Freddy, you know, he's got 1 year left. The amount of production you get out of a guy like Freddy Peralta, 33 starts in a regular season, 33 times he took the ball every fifth day, there's not many guys left like that, and the Brewers, I just think it's poetic that he got to be the guy that finished the regular season.
Yeah, I like that call, and I think it's great, and I think, you know, Dom, part of that too is this team has been focused on some other things, you know, to try to get ready for the postseason, try to, you know, get players ready, try to test out players, try to bring back injured players and get them back going to 100% again. So the last, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks has been, you know, a little bit iffy. And, you know, fans, I get it. They can get a little ornery wondering, you know, is this team, you know, limping into the playoffs? Do they have a chance once it begins? You know, I get all that. But a really good call with what Peralta has done. And we knew he's going to have a short start today. But to top it off, you're bringing your closer back, who's been out since the third or fourth week of August and hasn't pitched in a big league game till now. And McGill winds up getting the win and looked pretty sharp. I mean, he wasn't throwing 100, but this was a big test for him today. And, of course, it's going to be a recovery test for him tomorrow as well. But this team deserves to have its 5 days off. They put most of their guys that they could on the front line. You know, they went through the bullpen, you know, pretty good here today. And everybody chipped in and did their thing. Winning a 4-2 game against probably the hottest team in baseball is a pretty nice way to go out.
Yeah, I think the Brewers understood this final week and a half was obviously odd because they had such a large lead that they knew they were going to win the division, and they knew they had the tiebreaker on Philly, so they didn't need to be perfect, and they had a lead in that division too. But yet, you know, to be able to turn it on today, and you look at today's lineup wasn't the lineup they're going to roll out on Saturday, and yet you knew Freddie was only going to go two innings, and you knew you had a rotating door of people that needed a pitch, but man, when you saw those arms come out, and when you saw Bryce Terang get another knock with a runner in scoring position, when you saw Yelly reach a couple of times and even gave a ball a ride, nearly giving it a bid for number 30, Chirios shows signs of waking up. You sit here and go, oh yeah, yeah, that looks a little bit more familiar. Now I can get excited for what the NLDS will look like.
Yeah, 100%. Chirios, such a key for sure. You know, Bryce Terang was on base twice today, had that big RBI double in the third inning. You know, you know, I think up and down this lineup, you know, for the most part, you know, these guys are ready to go. I thought Isaac Collins had, you know, some good at bats in this game as well, and he's, you know, been struggling at the plate. They're gonna have to call in a lot of these guys. You know, another guy's Danny Jansen too. Dom, you just don't know where William Contreras is going to be all the way when it comes to Saturday in that NLDS game one health-wise. But the bottom line is, you know, Danny Jansen is showing, hey man, play me a couple of games in a row and I'm gonna hit a couple of home runs for you. I'm gonna get on base, you know, three times out of four plate appearances here today. You know, the depth I think is got the potential to really blossom once again once they get back into play and they get through this week of their final preps for the playoffs.
We'll talk a little bit about that roster coming up later. Let's talk about Jansen. Let's talk about this game a little bit more specifically up next. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. On your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers Extra Innings brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electric. As temperatures drop, which I don't think they are anytime soon, but don't risk a cold shower now through October 31st. Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $200 off a new water heater, plus a free 5-year extended labor warranty. Stay cozy with Cider, S-E-I-D-E-R. Go to Cider.com today. With Greg Cashon, I'm Dom Catronio. Danny Jansen, man, how about it? It's somebody new every night. He was the last guy that needed to register his mark on a win, I guess, this season for the Brewers. But very quietly now, Craig, let me read you. It's a small sample, I know. 38 plate appearances in the month of September. But Danny Jansen went 10 for 33 this month with 3 homers, a double, 5 walks, and only 9 strikeouts and 1,000 OPS. I know William Contreras is going to start virtually every game of the postseason. But in the event they need something, if something happens, that Danny Jansen's showing that, hey, can still hit, and of course he's the hero today, I instantly smiled and thought about Eric Kratz in 2018, because how fitting was it that the backup catcher helped them clinch a franchise record today?
Yeah, that's a really good call for sure. And, you know, that too might be part of the reason this team kind of pulled off that surprise trade by acquiring him and releasing Eric Haas at the time. And that was a big surprise, I think, to a lot of people. But once you understood what they were trying to do here, you know, the Brewers kind of took a risk a little bit about, you know, acquiring a veteran catcher and then telling this guy, you're here, we're going to need you, but we don't necessarily know when we're going to need you, and just somehow try to prepare and be ready to go because you're not going to play that much. And I'm sure he's the last guy that wanted to hear that. But again, he's a team guy. You know, we've gotten to know him pretty well. Obviously, he's from the state of Wisconsin. But, you know, truly, that has nothing to do with it. This guy's a pro, and he's a veteran. And this is what the team needed to add just in case. I mean, I think people take William Contreras for granted because he does play every day. But he got hammered pretty hard in those two games in St. Louis of those so-called catcher's interference where, you know, his left wrist is banged up. And so having Jansen here, you know, allowed him to take these extra days off. Brewers, you know, got to the point where they did clinch number one. And that was big. It's big to have that. And he was part of that. And he was part of, you know, finishing the season really strong here today. And you just don't know what's going to happen in the postseason. And you don't want somebody behind the plate necessarily, if you can avoid it, that has not been there before. This guy has.
You know, I have a poll up on social media. Instead of player of the game, I went with player of the season. Just, I don't want to call it MVP. I just want to call just the player that the Brewers are in this position by 97 wins because of insert guy here. I put 3 options up, and I think I got the 3 options right. I put Freddy Peralta, I put Christian Yelich, and I put Bryce Terang. And as you would expect, it's a pretty even split right now between the 3 of those guys. It's a slight edge to Freddy Peralta with 13 minutes left to pull, but Bryce Terang is technically second at 35% votes received. I want to talk about Bryce because he reaches base 3 times today, RBI double, a pair of walks. Yes, he struck out twice, but hey, everyone strikes out. What Bryce has done, I mean, he might be hitting 3rd in the postseason, and I don't think we actually have wrapped our heads around the fact that this dude who was optioned in 2023 because they needed him to hit a little bit better, needed him to do a little bit more, and now he might be hitting 3rd just 2 seasons later in a postseason game for the best team in baseball.
Yeah, that's crazy how far he has come in such a short amount of time, Bryce Terang. The power and just the ability, you know, I always look at these guys, you know, first and foremost, can they drive in runs? Can guys not necessarily always have to come through in the clutch, but your big RBI guys are the ones that do that. And Bryce now has, 81 on the season with his RBI here today. Vinny and I were talking during the game, and he brought up a really interesting name. He said, think about this. Bryce Terang has 81 RBIs, and And, you know, he's developed during this year into an RBI producer. And he asked me, he goes, did Paul Molitor even have that many? Or did he ever even, you know, get 100 in a season? And, you know, for the older Brewer fans, you know, Molly did a ton of things. And my first reaction was, oh, yeah, he had to have had 100 RBI season. And he did not. His highest was his last as a Milwaukee Brewer before he went to Toronto, and that was 89 RBIs. And think about where he was in his career at the time. He was 16 or 17 years in at the time. And look what Bryce Terang's done in, what, his third year. And he's done most of that as this season has progressed, become into this home run hitter, RBI producer.
Yeah, I love that idea, actually, when you think about it. And what a career for Molly, obviously, is, you know, one of the best third basemen to play, then shifting over to first, and we all know how it happened with his departure. But the point being is that here's another guy that is homegrown and coming through the system that was a first-round pick, right? Molitor was a third overall, and Bryce, I believe, was number 16 or 18. I'll have to double-check that. But the point being is that the Brewers have their guy, and I've been saying this for a while, ever since the beginning of the year, you know, especially when he got off to that hot start in April. If there's a guy, if there's a candidate that the Brewers are thinking about, man, could they do another deal with somebody? Like last year, the headline was Jackson Churio and bringing back Woodruff and being able to have access to Rhys Hoskins for 2 years. If there's another one looming, that's the first name on my list, is to get Bryce Terang a signature and to make him a Milwaukee Brewer into his prime years.
Yeah, I mean, and what goes into that too, Dom, it's the way he's become that run producer now and that guy who can slug. We know what he can do with his glove, obviously. He's already won, you know, the Gold Glove, Platinum Glove, but he's also a base stealing threat. So, I mean, if you're going to give money to somebody, especially in this market, like a Jackson Churio, you're giving it to somebody because they can do everything that's needed to be done to help this franchise not just win games, but take it to the next level and be competitive to go to the playoffs and be a threat for a championship year after year after year. And this is the guy right here that I would agree with you who should be the next guy if that next guy is going to be granted that big contract. It just makes sense.
I agree. I'm going to keep you for one more because I want to talk a little playoff. I want to talk a little bullpen because I think one guy sharpied himself into the postseason roster today. We'll break that down up next on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers got some good news on the health front. Let's do a little buy or selling while we're at it for this bullpen. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin and part of First Weber Real Estate Services. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Let's step up to the plate together. WendorfTeam.FirstWeber.com. Brewers win 4-2. They clinch 97 wins, a franchise record for the most in their organization's history. So, when I look at the guys that pitched today, we knew it was going to be a ton of relievers today following Freddie Peralta. Great to see Trevor Megill back healthy. The stuff wasn't its usual self as far as, you know, kind of the under-the-hood stuff as far as spin rates and velocity. But let's start there here, Craig Kishon, that Trevor Megill is back. And I had a thought to myself, are you buying or selling that Trevor Megill is only going to pitch the ninth inning? Meaning they could deploy him in another part in the game if they so wish. And I could really see a scenario where they keep going with this Koenig Uribe by committee in the ninth and deploy Megill whenever they may specifically need him, but it was good to see him healthy.
I'm definitely buying that because, look, Trevor Megill, at least right now, is not the same, doesn't have the same velocity that he did when he was the closer. And so you can't just put him in that spot and say, do the same things you were doing and try to get there. They already have somebody that can fill those shoes here right now. And Koenig could do the same thing for that matter because Koenig and Uribe were eighth and ninth inning guys interchangeably while Megill was out anyway. So I'm definitely buying that. And I really believe that, you know, for Trevor Megill, I would think that he would buy that too. If he's going to do whatever it takes to, you know, make this team a winner, he has to be in on that too. And I can't imagine that he wouldn't be.
Yeah, I think that's going to make the most sense, because then maybe you save him to only face two batters at a time, let it eat for a couple guys, and end an inning type of thing. He could be a fireman the Brewers have deployed to help ease the tension on a guy like Nick Meier. So I agree. I don't think he's just locked into the ninth inning. I'm not saying he's been demoted from the ninth inning, but no. I'm saying it might be better suited for him to face fewer hitters, not be stressed out about, like, oh man, does he get a four out save? Because he's not going to be getting four out saves while he recovers from this injury. The other thing I want to buy or sell with you is a guy that firmly supplanted himself in my eyes on this postseason roster. I'm calling it now. Sharpie it. Chad Patrick's on this postseason roster. He's going to pitch important innings for the Brewers here, hopefully in October. Because quite frankly, and it's going to sound blunt, but I believe this is the truth, and I think Jacob Mizorowski would agree with this. The numbers for Chad Patrick, he thinks he throws 100 miles an hour. He thinks he has the best stuff on the planet. He knows that, hey, I'm a kid from northern Indiana, went to a middle-of-nowhere school. I was traded twice in my minor league career. I'm playing with house money. Give me the ball. I'm ready to go. And to see Chad Patrick be somebody the Brewers can rely on, to somebody that can get righties and lefties out, Chad Patrick is going to be on this postseason roster.
Well, I would agree with you on that, and I think Chad Patrick just has the maturity to handle the roles that he has had with this team this season. Hey, Chad, we need you for some really important starts, but when you're done with that, we're going to have to send you back to AAA, because that's just how it fits right now with our team. But we're going to need you back, and then he is back, and then we're going to need to send you back down. I mean, the guy's done just about everything from a I can handle it standpoint, and I think he understands this is kind of the Brewer way, and I think they brought him along into this role at the end of the season as we head to the playoffs, and say this is how we have to use a few select pitchers, and you're one of our few select guys, and to me he can handle it for sure. And we all understand how relievers change sometimes by the week, certainly by the month. It's just how it happens right now in baseball. And for him to go from starter to this new role that we saw here today in that seventh inning especially, for sure I am in on that. And I can't imagine that he's not going to excel.
Yeah, I think this is going to be really important for him to feel like he's part of this club going into October. Even if he doesn't even pitch with the lead, he is going to be on this team to serve a very important role for Milwaukee. Well, Craig, this was my last show with you this season. The postseason, I won't be around for the DS, and I know you've got other duties with the Bucks coming around the corner. So, Craig, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. Couldn't do this without you. You make this job a lot easier for me. I learn something from you every single day. We get to spend a press box together, and man, hopefully this is a long, long ride in October.
Well, I appreciate that, Dom, and really appreciate all of the – look, I don't know what in the world you could possibly have learned from me, Dom. You are full of the numbers, the stats, and great philosophy and insight, and you've done such a great job handling the show once again this year that I can't imagine the listeners and even our viewers on the TV side. I know they switch over and listen to this postgame show every night. So great stuff, my friend. I hope you have a great long run this postseason doing these shows, and I know we'll bump into each other, and I'm going to bump into some Brewer fans here come to a ball game and having a beer for the playoffs for sure.
I'm hoping I'm right back here in this chair 2 weeks from tomorrow for game one of the NLCS, so that would be quite the story to tell. Craig Kishon, thank you as always, my friend.
All right, Dom.
All right, we'll hear from Pat Murphy coming up in a moment. The Brewers win 4-2. 97 big ones for the crew. Back after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win. Everyone is in a great mood. Let's get to that player of the game, player of the season poll. It's brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP and the season's MVP, you can drive into the season in style and save up to $10,000 on in-stock BMWs, Audis, Mercedes, Benz, and more. No tariffs, just huge savings. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. A couple of write-ins for Quinn Priester, another one for the bullpen on this poll, but at the end of the day, just by barely a percentage point. Freddy Peralta takes the nod in my very official, very scientific method poll on Twitter as to who is the team MVP. But the fact that it was this close between Peralta, Terang, and Yelich kind of tells you that this team did have multiple MVPs and will have multiple guys getting, you know, top 15, top 10 votes in their various awards. Like, I could see Yelich being top 10. I could see Terang being top 10 for MVP in the National League. I could see Caleb Durbin being top 5 Rookie of the Year voting. I could see Chad Patrick getting top 5 Rookie of the Year voting. I could see Freddie Peralta getting top 5 Cy Young Award voting. So the Brewers, you don't do it by accident when you win 97 games in a season and set a franchise record. Let me get to some texts here as well. Dennis, you could almost put Ashby on that list, too. Me and Bugsy were just talking about what a stellar season he's had. Yeah, like a 2.17 ERA, two scoreless innings today. He is going to be the secret weapon for the Brewers heading into October. He's not going to get saves. He's not going to get necessarily, you know, the big sexy numbers. But, man, he can strike anybody out, righties or lefties. Mike in Colorado, hard to believe today was their last game. It went by too quickly. But their second season's about to begin. I picked the Brewers to win 95, but I can live with 97. Man, they slammed down the hammer today. They shut down the red hot Reds offense. Now relax, refocus, and energize for the playoffs. This one from Bob in Sycamore, Illinois. Raise your hand if you thought at the time the deals were made that Quinn Priester and Andrew Vaughn would turn out the way they did. Mine's certainly not in the air, but I'm glad everyone else and the Brewers made these deals. Yeah, those two deals, yes, people can complain about the trade deadline. Oh my gosh, why did the Brewers make any headlines at the deadline? That's what the national headline said. The ones that didn't pay attention to this team on a daily basis didn't realize the two most important trades they made this year were done before the starting gun. With Andrew Vaughn, obviously in June when they called up Jacob Mizorowski, and then way back in April when they acquired Quinn Priester. This one from Alex in Oshkosh. Greatest regular season in franchise history. Best one since 82. Let's hope there are more good things to come with the NLDS on Saturday. Hashtag win it for Uke. This one, Dan from Fort Atkinson. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Woohoo, Brewers. This is a beautiful year of baseball. It has been super fun here to cover it. Can't believe we get the chance to talk about it every single night with this club. We will have some content coming up this week as well. We're not done here. We're going to the bottom of the hour. We're here from Murph next. But in the lead up, you know, we got the workouts and we'll be out here getting some coverage as well. But one thing that we have planned, I'm going to have like a full playoff preview episode just for the podcast. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcast. Might have some special guests join us on that one. And then there will be a taped Brewers Weekly on Friday night at 8 o'clock leading into the postseason, because by then we'll know who the Brewers' opponent will be heading into October. So keep that in mind. Keep an ear and eye out for that kind of stuff coming up this weekend. And we'll also get some burning questions as to who's available, who's not, who's on the roster. That none of that stuff comes out until Saturday of the NLDS. Up next, we'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings. I'm on top of the
world. Here's the 3-2 pitch, and a fly ball to the left. This is hit well, way back there, bye-bye baseball! Danny Jansen, a two-run blast, and the Brewers on top 3-2.
That's our Surfside play of the game. A proud partner of the Milwaukee Brewers, Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, paired perfectly with the day at the ballpark and stocked at American Family Field all season long. Brewers win 4-2. The manager, wide-ranging, longer session than usual, wanted you to make sure you hear all of it here on WTMJ. Here is the soon-to-be back-to-back NL Manager of the Year. In my opinion, could be Tito as well, but in my opinion, it should be Pat Murphy.
Sure, wasn't do or die for your club today, but what does it mean to get to 97 and see that number up there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm glad that this team gets to be remembered differently. You know, I'm not into records necessarily, but it's a way for the 2025 to be recognized differently. So, yeah, I mean, it's a way for this team to get recognized, and they should be, you know, especially where they came from and where no one expected this. And to break the franchise record for wins, would you have said that coming out of New York or after opening day here? It just shows you who's in the room and who's competing out there. So, yeah, I'm really proud of the group. I admire the group. We're banged up. We're beaten up. Most teams dread this break. It's coming at the right time. Great to see McGill out there. You know, he wasn't sharp, but it's great to just get him back out on the mound feeling like he can do it. Great to have D.L. Hall back competing. Where they line up next week, who knows? Freddie gave us, you know, a cameo that was, you know, was vintage Freddie. Ashby continues to do it. Koenig and Uribe have been steady. Chad Patrick showed up in the pen and has done well for a rookie. These guys, we keep asking them to do things. It's been great.
Or with Jansen's swing, with the way that he's finishing up this year, could he potentially alter some of the ways you were thinking about using him, and then like that, how that would affect the rest of your roster?
What do you mean, using him as like a hitter?
Yeah.
And we'd have to have a third catcher?
Yeah, that's a nice question.
Yeah. It's a question. It's a good idea.
What have you seen Great. From him over the last 3 or so weeks?
No, he's been good. He's been good. But, I mean, this guy's a veteran. Nothing's surprising what he's doing. I mean, this guy's a veteran who usually catches every other day in his career or was the full-time catcher, had to get used to this role with William catching 3 out of 4 at least, maybe 5 out of 6 sometimes. And I'm glad to see Jansen contribute. You know, any new member of the team mid-year, it's hard to earn your stripes, so to speak, as a teammate. That kind of looks like you up there, doesn't it? Huh? Does, I think. That's your state. Is that your
state? You mentioned McGill and how important that was. Do you think that in a week another tick or two can come in the postseason?
Yeah, of course. Of course. When you feel like you're healthy, like, okay, I'm not babying it, I feel like I'm healthy, then you got a shot, I think. And I think he will. I think he'll rise to the occasion.
And how about DL stuff-wise? Is that – can that help you?
Yeah. I mean, he's been off a lot longer than McGill, so he might need – this week to really solidify himself.
You were talking before about matching the Reds' energy. Is that what we saw today?
Yeah, I think you did. I think you saw guys that cared. We didn't play great. I mean, offensively, still, we sputtered in so many areas. We had a man on second and no outs, I don't know how many times, but there was a couple times we didn't get him over or didn't get him in. That's not playoff baseball. Played good defense. We pitched very well. That's what it takes.
One of those pitchers, Aaron Ashby, just the consistency with which, you know, started the season hurt, but then came back has been consistent all the way through.
You could say most pitchers on our staff started the season hurt, with the exception of Koenig and Peralta. You know. I guess Uribe too. He started suspended, not hurt. But Ashby's been terrific. I mean, he really has. He subtly, kind of like a Vaughn or a Durbin, you know, like really important to the key to these 97 wins, which hopefully translates into a historic season.
Perfect. The Mets losing. That's 3 Central teams in.
Is it over?
Yeah, they lost.
4-0, man on first, no out. Well, what did they do?
Double play.
Made outs. They made 3 of them. What do you think?
In one inning?
It was the ninth.
In one inning, they made 3.
Yeah, they did.
Unusual, huh?
What? No.
You knew that? 3 outs in an inning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just checking. Was testing you.
What do you think about getting 3 Central teams into the dance?
That's a statement. I mean, the Central's getting better. It was better last year, and now you could see this happening. You could see the Reds getting better. They went out at the deadline, and they struck it 3 for 3. They're in a great spot in their org. St. Louis will recover and do well. They have the pieces. Great minor league system. Pittsburgh, what can you say? It's a phenomenal pitching staff. They're getting closer, and obviously the Cubs are a juggernaut, and they've built the team. You know, they have more to work with than anybody, but they built a great team. And we're just sputtering along, trying to keep our head above water.
Murph, it's been a long season. You've alluded to how far you've come. Was there a spot where it started to come into focus?
Yeah.
You thought, where was it?
Yeah, it was Pittsburgh. We had lost our edge, and we were trying to find it. And it's kind of like we were crawling around in the dark trying to find what we really. And then there was this day in Pittsburgh when we were going to lose our third game in a row, I believe, in Pittsburgh on a dreary, cold day. And we had three 0-2 doubles. 0-2 double, 0-2 double, something like that. Came back, won that game. And it just like, yeah, that's it. That's it. It felt right. It was a grinder day. And then since then, I don't know what our record was, but it was really, really darn good.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. That Pittsburgh that started the first 8-game winning streak for the Brewers, and then they had 11-1 shortly after that. Then, of course, the 14 in August. So let's get you some fodder for what to look out for. We've got some game time for the wild card series this week. We'll also talk about what's left to decide for the Brewers. That's coming up next in our final segment of Brewers Extra Innings tonight on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings. What's coming up for the crew? This is your window to what's ahead. Brought to you by Window Nation.
What's coming up is a whole bunch of nothing for the Brewers. They get to hang out. They don't have anything. Monday, go home. It's over. Just kidding. So, this week, Pat Murphy called it intended intense practice. Not doing like inner squads or doing the whole starting lineup stuff like some other teams are doing that. It's agonizing, in the words of Pat Murphy, to figure out what to do during this bye week, but they've earned it. And quite frankly, I think it comes at a great time for the Brewers. I think that if there's a team that can embrace this and use this to their advantage, I think it's the Brewers, who still haven't quite played up to their standard, if you will, to this point in the season, at least these last 2.5 weeks or so. But yet, they still get this chance to rebound, right? Because you can look at it both ways. If they had come into this hot, thinking, oh my gosh, now they got to deal with a break. What are they going to do after this break? So there's no way. You're always going to find something wrong with it. So use all this energy to say, conserve it, get it right, get ready, and move on to the DS, which starts Saturday, October 4th. We do not know the game times yet. We do not know the opponent yet. More on that in a moment. But first, thank our friends at Window Nation. Right now, you can buy 2 windows, get 2 free. Plus, no payments for 2 years. And you can even get free tickets to a Brewers game when you replace all the windows in your home. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com now. So the Brewers, they're the 1 seed overall. Great time to close in on the Window Nation playoff special. Now, the wild card series goes like this. Central times for these first pitches. Tigers at Guardians in Cleveland at noon on ESPN Tuesday. At 2 o'clock, it'll be Padres Cubs on ABC from Wrigley. Day game playoff baseball from Wrigley. That kind of, that's, hey, if you're a baseball fan, that's pretty cool. Red Sox, Yankees, primetime. Shocker, I know. Red Sox in the Bronx, rivalry matchup. That'll be 5 o'clock Central Time. And then finally, the West Coast game. Reds, this last team in, going to L.A. to take on the Dodgers. 8 p.m. first pitch. That will also be on ESPN. So, should be a fun time this week. Neither team has announced their probables, the Padres nor the Cubs, but you can infer that it's going to be Nick Pivetta for Game 1 on Tuesday, Michael King, I imagine, on Wednesday, and all hands on deck on Thursday if they go that far. And then finally, for the Cubs, they had a big blow yesterday, losing Cade Horton for the wildcard round. They placed him on the injured list, meaning he would not be available until the DS at the soonest, Game 5. So that's not looking good for him with his fractured rib, but some combination of Matthew Boyd, Shota, and then maybe even a Jameson Taillon will get a start in there too, but their bullpen is going to have to carry them down the stretch. The series that I'm excited to watch that isn't the one that feeds into the Brewers has to be Red Sox, Yankees, right? All the smack talk from Jazz Chisholm about them being the best in the league, but yet they're a wild card team, all the talk of torpedo bats, and, you know, the fact that this sport is healthy, in my opinion, for a couple of reasons. Number one, parity, right? The defending world champions, the best team that money could buy, is in the wild card round. They didn't earn a bye. And the other team that won the pennant, fourth highest payroll in baseball, is also in the wild card round. The team with the second highest payroll, $339 million, they're sitting at home. They're watching on their couch. And yet here, these Milwaukee Brewers, we can talk about payroll, we can talk about the numbers, but yet it's the Milwaukee Brewers with 97 wins, more than anybody else in baseball. Appreciate seasons like this. Enjoy seasons like this. We're far from over. So we'll have a preview of the playoff series likely on Thursday. That episode will come out that night, I imagine, maybe even earlier that day. We'll have a taped Brewers Weekly once we are officially aware of the opponent for the Brewers on Friday night at 8. But stay tuned to Brewers All Access wherever you get your podcasts to hear and watch this content on YouTube under WTMJ as well. Big, big, big thank you to all of you all season long, and especially to our producer, Evan Witalison, hanging out with us on the weekends. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.